Blog Talk Radio.
From Ixtapa, Mexico, on the shores of beautiful Lake Chapala, it's Music Scene Fronteras. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. This is your show. Our guests are here to talk with you, so call in 917-889-3068. Now, that's an American number, USA number, so if you're in Mexico, add the plus. Or you can email us, musicscenefronterasmx, don't forget the MX, at gmail.com. Well, I want to say welcome to all of our listeners on the CyberStationUSA.com network and their radio affiliates, and also the Artistic Echoes and Canalside radio networks in the UK, who will hear us tomorrow, and of course, everybody on blogtalkradio.com. If you have questions or comments for our guests, again, call in or email in and we will try to get to them. If you're listening to us on a podcast or you're listening to us in England, you can still email questions to our guests. And as always, remember, we are in Mexico, which is a joyfully musical and really noisy country, even in lockdown. Now, our studio is downtown and our soundproofing is pretty good. But, you know, you may still occasionally hear the gas truck or police cars. And now police cars with loudspeakers driving around downtown to tell us to get inside and to wear masks. Also, Chula the studio dog is with us today. She's outside the sound booth, but she's in the studio and she can bark pretty loud. So if she wakes up and barks, you might hear her. And finally, as you may have noticed, I have a bit of a scratchy throat, so just bear with me. At least I'm not the one singing. All right. Well, now that we have all of the warnings out of the way, I want to introduce our guests, Billboard Top 10 Musicians and Tango Team, Ben and Winnie. They are on a mission to spread tango around the world and save the planet while they do it. Well, that may be a bit of an exaggeration, but given their prodigious talent and enough time, they could probably pull it off. And they would make a whole lot of people very happy in the process. They compress the raw, complex energy of a fully orchestrated tango down into the tight, fiery focus of a duo. And in doing so, they transport audiences from around the world into a kind of global mianga, a dance hall, with a message of positive social change to leave the planet in better shape than they found it. With Winnie on piano and Ben squeezing on the bandoneron, and he will talk to you about what a bandoneron is a little later in the show if you don't know, they perform wild music tango that audiences love, but they do it in their own unique and sometimes experimental way. Their latest album, La Próxima Traición, is due out next week on the 15th. It pays homage to tango's tradition of innovation, and we're going to play some of it. But first, here are the artists themselves. Ben and Winnie, welcome to Music Scene Fronteras, and thanks for the great live stream yesterday.
All right. Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us, Patrick.
Thank you so much for taking the time. So how did the Fairview Elementary School gig go? Are you inculcating little kids with tango?
That was truly great. There were so many of them, and some of them dropped their violins, picked it back up, and kept playing it. Didn't they, Ben?
they did. It was great. You know, we had this thing. We were supposed to go into Fairview Elementary School here and play with like 200 or 300 kids on stage, and that was supposed to be the other day. But instead, they all sent in videos, and we edited them all together and made a great product, and they continued learning violin for the whole sort of stay at home time at the end of the school year.
Wow, you guys are amazing. Well, I must say, not only are you amazing, but you're very Sin Fronteras, a California boy who lived in Argentina playing with a Hong Kong girl trained in Chicago and New York, and their music is performed from the U.S. to Japan to Indonesia. How did you two get together?
Bloomington, Indiana.
Yeah. No, go ahead, Winnie. Go ahead, go ahead.
Bloomington, Indiana, as turnout, is sort of the kitchen sink of all things tango at this point. there's a university here called Indiana University, where a lot of musicians congregate. And before we know it, Ben and I and a few other friends that was in our old quartet, Cuarteto Tanguero, we all ended up in this little town of Bloomington where Ben holds his annual workshop, Tanguero workshop. And it is through the workshop and through Ben and Cuarteto Tanguero that I found tango.
Okay. All right. Now, that's a great story. And I noticed that you, Winnie, despite your Chinese Mandarin origins, have a really good Spanish accent, which I'm trying to develop here. Tanguero. There it is. Tanguero. We say it a little differently in Mexico. Well, before we go much farther, we should tell our audience just a little bit about the tango, because, you know, most people, particularly in the United States, know the tango from movie and TV clips of a sexy dance to Hernando's Hideaway from Pajama Game on Broadway. So tell us about the tradition of tango and why it's so popular.
Tango came out of Argentina, came out of around the turn of the century. It became very popular with movies in Los Angeles, and that all led to like the kind of image of tango I think that you're describing, that we see still in movies today, or English language movies today, I should say. But tango, I don't know, the idea of sensuality in tango and that it is the wrong, it sort of like misses the essence of tango. I mean, it can be there, it can be part of it, but it's not about sensuality so much to me as about connectedness, right? It's about being, that's a little bit the idea, you've probably heard this, like, what is it, one, four legs, one heart or something like that, I think is one of the ways that people describe tango. So tango, the essence of tango for me is about being together, which is great now. I mean, as we're not able to really be together, but sort of through tango, we can, you know, maintain a togetherness.
Okay. Winnie, did you have something to add?
If I may, I find that there is no shame to want, for all of us to want to be beautiful inside and maybe a little outside. If the attraction of tango in the beginning for some people is to feel that they're beautiful on the outside, it's fine. But what Ben was saying is that beyond the outside, tango actually makes you so much more beautiful inside. And from within, one can be beautiful inside and outside for longer, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's sort of it's become, you know, of course it was an Argentine tradition that has become a global tradition. And I think that as part of this global tradition, it has almost its own culture. And that culture involves a lot of self-exploration in both the dance and the music. And so we see that tango ends up being much more than just the music or just the dance. We've probably gone way beyond, way deeper into this than you intended with that question.
No, that's okay. I got introduced to all aspects of that one night at the oldest rock and roll club in Los Angeles, the Mint, which has a monthly tango night, or at least had one when they were open. And I had no idea this was totally new to me. All of these tango clubs sort of emerged from the woodwork from all over the United States, and they showed up and they were dressed to kill. And there was a tango mini orchestra on stage, and everybody just had a great time. And it was a nice way for the Anglo community who showed up for rock and roll because they're regulars there, and the Latino community, many of whom came from Argentina, to get to know one another and to change culture. So I really agree with what you say, and also have seen it in action. We should give our audience a little sample of what we're talking about here. So let's give them a cut from the album. This is the title song La Proxima Traición, which in English is The Next Betrayal. Here we go. Now, Winnie, I'm especially intrigued by the piano in that, the way you go from, you know, deep end bass sounds that are almost discordant to light and delicate notes that just kind of ricochet off of Ben's bandoneon. Do you write that out? Is that arranged or is it just sort of free form?
I have to say 99% were written out. I believe the composer left me about 1% wiggle room for interpretation. I have to say, I took a slight bit more liberty than that 1%. I would say the notes are just stopped on the page, and what you represent in your body and on your instrument should be entirely yours. That said, I say I respected the composer's writing for about 75%.
Okay. Now, when you say the composer, you didn't write that song?
No, my husband did. Aaron Travers is the composer of La Proxima Traición. He wrote it especially for Ben and I to perform in various places. And there are optional parts for children musicians to join us on this piece also. We can send you the link later.
Cool.
Yeah.
And did he get angry with you for reducing him down to 75% instead of 99%?
And guys, that is the privilege of having your husband to be the composer of the piece. So the answer is no.
Okay.
And by the way, myself is a composer. I'm trained as a composer also for my doctorate degree. And we do understand that as a composer, once you give the parts to the musicians, it is set free. Your baby is sent off to college. It's his choice to drink all night and not go to class the next day. It's entirely his choice. Once the score leaves the composer, the musician owns it and represents it. For the two of them, really. But really, now the cards are in the musician's hands.
Cool. All right. I like that. I like that attitude. That's the same attitude my daughter took when she went off to college in Ireland. where the drinking age is 18, not 21. It occurs. See, I told you the mission of this show is to have fun and talk about your music. And we certainly are doing that. It occurs to me, in talking with the tango community here and seeing live tango both here and in Los Angeles, that tango has undergone a lot of changes and it's branched out into many forms, including getting hooked up with electronic music by Astor Piazzolla. But it started out as a dance, a slave dance, actually, in the Rio Plata region of Argentina and Uruguay. Is your music part of that dance tradition or did you sort of pick it up later on?
Oh, no, yeah, we start about the time tango becomes tango with our repertory. So Comme il faut is probably the oldest song on this CD, and so that was composed in the early 20th century. And, so this is an early tango. We like to think of playing the earliest sort of tangos available all the way through the latest tangos available, like the stuff that the earliest stuff we can find to the stuff that was composed yesterday. We want to span the entire the entire possibility of tango music.
Well, you'll never run out of material.
Well, I hope not, but if we do, the
we
good news is if we do and we have that attitude, we just write some more. Go ahead, Winnie, what was that?
Tango is alive, and that is what we believe. As with anything alive, like a turtle that lives for 2,000 years, you know, it keeps growing and it changes, however slowly or quickly, it changes. And to make sure it's alive, there has got to be a manifestation of the thing itself at the moment, now. Not the most recent picture should not be 50 years ago. The most recent picture should be something you can take yesterday, today. That's why we would like to include tango from the earliest to the most recent, because tango is alive today. Sin frontera, everywhere, it's alive.
Yay, I like the way you put that. All right. Well, you know, I noticed, Ben, that you study classical music at UC Santa Cruz, Go Banana Slugs. And jazz, and I have a lot of my family went to UC Santa Cruz. I went to San Jose State, so it was close,
right?
just over the hill, and Santa Barbara, which was a little farther south. And you also studied jazz at Berklee College of Music in Boston, and then you moved to Argentina. What prompted you to move to Argentina, and what did you do while you were there?
Well, I studied the bandoneon. I mean, the reason I moved to Argentina, let's see, I got a bandoneon one day because I couldn't not get it. So I was introduced to it. Somebody let me touch one. I played it. And then that night I went and found one to buy and had it shipped to me. And for the next 2 years, I'd say, I kind of tried to play it. You know, I had a milonga that I ran, a dance event that I ran myself at that point in time. And I would play the bandoneon at every milonga at the end. It was terrible, but I did it. I would drive to New York. I lived in Rhode Island. So I would drive to New York and drive around and study with everyone I could study with. And I formed a band and we had all this stuff happening. And then one day I said to Tui, who's now my wife, I think I need to go to Argentina to really learn this instrument. And she said, okay. And then 3 months later, we were in Argentina and I was trying to track down bandoneon players. I was trying to figure out in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, who people thought were the best bandoneon players so that I could kind of orient myself in that world. I did. My first strategy was to ask taxi drivers. So I would get in a taxi and I would say, hey, who's the best tango bandoneon player around? And then they would all tell me. And then I would try to track him down.
Always a good strategy in any country. Right. Right. Well, Winnie, I know your classical background was kind of leavened with many other types of music and you love to experiment. This album feels experimental to me, but the more I listen to it, and I listened to it a lot of times this week, the more I hear piano notes that seem like they're very firmly rooted in classical forms. Am I hearing something that's not there?
I believe they share many of the same origins, tango and classical music. As you know, they do, actually. I mean, a lot of the musicians had origins in European countries when they moved to Argentina, and a lot of the musical forms and the song content and all that could be traced back to, say, Southern Italian opera or Spanish folk songs. And so the material has a lot of European origin in it. That's one. And another thing I find to be a big similarity between tango music and classical music is that they both need the musicians to imagine exactly who is in this orchestra. You see, at this point, there's Ben and I in this orchestra. So there are two of us. We could possibly be imagining a band of 97, which could be a traditional European symphony orchestra, or for a tango orchestra, 14, 16 people. So there are two of us. So who am I? Who is the pianist? So, for example, in our title track, La Próxima Traición, I am hearing a big bass, low bass, string bass sounds. I'm hearing cello parts. I'm hearing brass, low brass parts. And on the high parts, I could be hearing flute. I could be hearing oboe. I could be hearing violin, viola. The piano's job is to imitate whatever musical timbre that had on this planet, really, not just European instruments, I would stretch it to say.
Wow.
And same for Ben. I mean, the bandoneon is amazing. I mean, the thing is an organ. It is a keyboard instrument. It is an oboe. It's a reed. It's a reed instrument, but it's metallic reed, so it's a giant harmonica. I mean, what is this instrument? It's up to Ben to decide which instruments to include. So for those two things, I think there are lots of similarities between tango and classical Western music.
All right. So I wasn't imagining things. And incidentally, for our audience, after the show, not right now, Google bandoneon, and that's BANDONEON, and you'll see a rather wonderful instrument. And actually, let's hear a little bit of that rather wonderful instrument. We're going to play a piece of Quejas de Bandoneon, which in English is complaints from the instrument. So I want you to listen to the instrument, but also I want you to listen to the piano here. You know, Winnie, I love the way that you simultaneously track and play off of the bandoneon at the same time. And I guess you can only do that with a two-handed instrument like the piano, but it seems to be kind of a signature sound of yours that you can do that. And am I close? Is that sort of the way people didn't know it's you doing
that? I hope so, because the bandoneon is the boss. I have to say, Ben Bogart there is the boss on most occasions in these tunes, because he's got the tune, you know what I mean? You got to follow the boss.
I think it's
right, boss?
Just giving, it's just the impression of being a boss. I'm certainly not the one in charge, but... but yes, I'm supposed to give the impression of being the boss. But go ahead. I'm going to take this. This is something that happened when the duo became a duo. So, you know, we used to be a quartet and people moved away and we weren't planning on becoming a duo, but we started playing, rehearsing together because we were the two that were still left in town. And so it was like, well, okay, hold on, Winnie, you have to play the piano part, you know, that plays off the bandoneon, but then we need the bass part. And she's like, I'll just do that too. And what? And then, so she's doing that, and
compose the music and do the publicity and run the website.
I'm the cleanup gal.
So basically, in any time, I'm like, oh, you know, we need the flute, we need the bass, we need the whatever, any other instrument. She says, oh yeah, I can do that. And sometimes we have to take parts away from her because, not that she can't play them, but that she wants to, she can actually play everything. I think you're exactly right. Like, she's actually, I think there's one personality of Winnie that's sort of holding down time. And there's the other personality, the alter ego of Winnie, that is playing off the time and playing off of me and responding to the bandoneon. And that's happening all the time through the whole CD, for sure.
Wow.
And
okay.
Let's not forget, there's a very, very important part called the violin that usually is in most tango orchestras, that Ben actually took on most of that. So usually the violin talks to the bandoneon in these orchestra pieces. But since Ben Bogart is really good at talking to himself on most days anyway, he talks to himself between the violin and the bandoneon also on top of all of this.
No, this is going to go down as a historical interview because you're the first musicians I've had on the air who said they talk to themselves while they play.
All the time.
We're the only ones that
you can hear us talking to ourselves on the CD, probably.
Oh, my God. I want to talk to you about something. I'm going to change the subject a little bit here.
Okay.
I want to talk to you about the Tiny Footprint Project. As I was going through doing my research on you and my people were doing our research on you, I ran across something that seemed kind of interesting. You received a grant from the Kentucky Natural Land Trust for the Tiny Footprint Project. So I decided to go look it up. And it totally, I understand it because you went to UC Santa Cruz, Ben. So naturally you're an environmentalist, but, I wonder if you could tell our audience about the Tiny Footprint Project.
So maybe we'll put together a little explanation. There is one, I think, if you go to benwinney.com. The Kentucky Land Trust is they're related but they're separate. So the Tiny Footprint Tango Tour started. We had a tour happening in when was it? Beginning of last year, I think. And we were trying to figure out, it was a tour that we were going out as a duo. And we had talked about this idea that music needs to serve a purpose today in the world today. Art for art's sake is fantastic, and I have nothing against it. But that it felt like that we needed a greater purpose beyond tango to for me, really, to justify to myself continuing to be a musician in the world that I saw around me, because I was trying to figure out, like, should I stop playing music and you know, do something that has a more sort of direct and tangible effect on climate change and hunger and loneliness and all the kinds of things that we have to deal with in the world. Mostly climate change is where my head goes, because I have two small children who are going to inherit the planet from us. And so we decided to dedicate basically our music career, you know, to making the world a better place, one tango at a time. I should mention at the same time, you know, Winnie was thinking a lot about people and people who are socially marginalized and who don't have access to art and don't have access to high quality performance, or even just performance, or you know, who are isolated. So we started an initiative where we do two things. We offset all of our touring at 200%, carbon offset all of our touring at 200%, which means for every ton of carbon that our touring produces, we offset two. So we're net negative in that way. And then we also offer to our audiences in live performances the ability to contribute to that. And I don't know, Winnie, do you remember? I don't know if you remember the number of what we offset last year. And then also we go into places like prisons, retirement homes, hospitals, schools, anywhere where we can reach people that can't come to us to bring our music to them. And for that, we have a one-to-one outreach promise where for every live concert we do at least one outreach concert for people who wouldn't be able to come to us
to
bring the music to them.
That's remarkable, and you are to be congratulated. If you ever tour in California, if we ever get back to touring again, you should get in touch with Bread and Roses. I don't know if you know them, but they're an organization that books musicians to do what you're doing, and for pretty much the same reasons. let me remind our audience that we are talking with Ben Bogart and Winnie Cheung. And you can talk with them, too. You can call us on our number, or you can email us. A lot of you have already emailed, so I'm going to turn to the emails real quick. This is from earthmomjoan@yahoo.com, and this is for both of you. She wants to know, what was your first introduction to Argentine tango, and who is your favorite composer of the genre?
Ah. I will make it short. My first introduction to tango.
Good, because we're tight on time.
I started in dance 2014 in Portland, Oregon, when I was looking for flamenco. There was no flamenco to be found at that time, so I found tango and say, "Husband, you're coming with me to dance a tango." Not because we can, but because we need to connect once again after the children had gone through 6 years of diapers. So that is my beginning of tango, and my favorite composer is Troilo, because he is fun. He has every instrument in every imaginable orchestra in the world, and I can play a lot of them.
Ben?
My introduction to tango, I took a tango class in UC Santa Cruz, was my first introduction to tango. I was immediately told at the end of that class that the teachers were leaving and I wouldn't be able to take any more classes with them. So it was the introduction, but then there was a long period of time before I found a way back to tango. And this is like asking me to choose between my friends. I can't choose a favorite composer. I have no way of doing it. I keep going, I keep like naming people. I'm like, yeah, but what about the other? You know what I mean? So I can't do that. I'm going to go with Aaron Travers for the moment, the composer of...
Yeah! That's commitment, people. Commitment. I like it.
Not only are you a great musician, but you're a diplomat, too.
He's listening. He's very happy right now.
Yeah, I'll say. We have an email here from Los Angeles, from Rato in Los Angeles, and you've probably been asked this before. I knew somebody was going to ask it, but here it is. Are the tango and the flamenco related?
Mostly no. They're like distant. They're distant relatives. Tango has some Andalusian influence. But mostly I would say that they're not. They're separate art forms that are often confused with each other. And I don't think it has anything to do with the music. I think it has to do with the name somehow. You know what I mean? That people, that they both have like exotic names that are really kind of fun to say, like flamenco and tango.
And the red rose. And the red rose.
And the dresses. Yeah.
Yeah. And the dance.
And the dance.
Yeah, they're both dance-oriented. But for our audience who doesn't know, tango comes from Argentina, as we've talked, and flamenco comes from Spain. And
right.
So they are very different, although they're both a lot of fun. Lily B. in Atlanta, speaking of dance, wants to know, do people dance to your music?
Yeah, yes. All the time.
Yes, we, yes. In fact, you can hire to dance for your community tomorrow.
We had probably, of the 30 performances that we had canceled because of, you know, the stay-at-home order, I would think that more than 20 of them had to be dance events where we expected people to dance tango. Yeah, so we do a lot. We play a lot of tango dance events as a duo.
Okay.
Tomorrow, Patrick, if I may,
yes,
playing at a virtual milonga, like an online virtual dance party, tango dance party, that we will feed our playing into Zoom, and people in their individuals' homes will choose to dance to our live playing tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I will send you the link.
Okay, well, why don't you also just tell us, do you have it now?
How do people
get in touch with you?
It is to get in touch with us. Find us. Yes, Ben.
Oh, okay. So the milonga is called Milonga La Memoria. So La Memoria, like the memory. We're not, it's not actually our event. We're playing at somebody else's event. So I think the best way to find that is probably to Google Milonga La Memoria.
Okay. It might be a good idea for you to post that on your Facebook page or something, because people will go to it.
Absolutely.
There.
We'll post it there.
Yeah, okay. Waller in San Francisco wants to know, and you kind of mentioned this, but maybe he's been following you, and he wants to know, have you left the quartet or is this a side project? And I guess the quartet left you, right?
So I don't even know if we know the answer to that. So the quartet exists. Like, there's no, we haven't disbanded the quartet. You know what I mean? Like, the quartet as a conceptual idea, Quarteto Tanguero, exists. But we can't get the musicians together very often for it. Everybody has different projects and everybody's working on different things. And so most of our time these days is going into Ben and Winnie, the duo, which is called Ben and Winnie.
Okay, all right.
That's it.
Well,
if you hired us as a... Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
I said, if you'd like to hire us as a quartet, you'll see Ben and Winnie plus two very good friends who will produce a very good result for you.
Okay, all right. Well, when the lockdown's over, maybe we can do that. Oh, we're getting a little tight on time, but I want to squeeze in another song. This is La Jumba, and, well, here it is. Now, that is the kind of rhythm that I associate with classic tango. Now, I can sort of see the dancers in my mind's eye, and I think it's a great example, Winnie, or actually both of you, of how the two instruments really track together so well. And like you said, the bossy power of the bandoneon. And I hope you forgive me, but that's actually my favorite song on the album. I love it.
I'm glad
Great.
To hear that.
Yeah, even though it's not the title song, which brings me. we just got another email in, which I want to get to. And this is, again, this is from Waller in San Francisco. He apparently follows you, and he says, I read that Winnie is a prolific composer and that her music was played in Indonesia. Does she compose for the gamelan?
Ah, that I have not, but I have played in a gamelan. It is a wonderful ensemble. I have not had a chance to get to that yet. I would love to someday.
Okay. And for our audience, gamelan is an Indonesian a percussion instrument and group. And it's all sort of horizontal instruments with cymbals on them, and they beat the cymbals with hammers, and it's a wonderful kind of music.
Beautiful.
Look it up. And yeah, I'm not sure if I can see tango done on it, but there you are. Unfortunately, we do have to say goodbye now. What is the best way for people to follow you?
You
it
can
is
find
ben,
us at
benwinnie.com/follow.
That's
BenWinnie.com.
Okay. B-E-N. Winnie is W-I-N-N-I-E. So, yeah.
Ben Winnie. Okay. And you also do a live stream series. You're on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m. my time, I guess 2 p.m. your time. Are you going to be playing songs from the new album on your live streams?
We do that.
All the time.
Okay.
We
all
play
right.
two songs and we intersperse with talking. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, just like we did today, except we managed to get three songs in. All right. All right, well, we are out of time now, so I want to thank you two for joining us today. You're really a lot of fun. I'm going to have you back on when the lockdown's over and you go on tour again. We're going to have you back on, but thanks for taking the time to call in today.
All right, thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you.
Ben Bogart and Winnie Chung of Ben and Winnie. Follow them on Facebook. You can follow them together at Ben and Winnie. You should also tune into their live streams. And don't forget the new album, too. That's everybody should get a copy of the new album. And that's it for today. And I want to say thank you for listening. And we really appreciate all the email we've gotten. Sorry, my apologies to those who tried to call in and didn't and weren't able to reach us or whose email we didn't get to. But let me remind everybody that you have been listening to Music Scene Fronteras with Patrick O'Heffernan. That's me from the blogtalkradio.com network, the cyberstationusa.com network, and all of our radio affiliates, both here and in England. Like our Facebook page, follow our Twitter feeds, and you'll get real-time updates on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. You can download this and other Music Scene Fronteras programs at blogtalkradio.com, and you can also find us on iTunes. Tune in next week. We're going to have Jessica Elizabeth Davenport of the Strictly Elizabeth Band, and they're going to bring us their debut album, so be sure you catch on to that. So check our Twitter stream and our Facebook page, and we will update you. In the meantime, have a great musical weekend. Tiene un gran fin de semana musical. And I'm going to leave you with a little bit more of this wonderful music.